Okay, if you ever needed like a perfect snapshot of football living in two worlds at once, the fancy red carpets and then the muddy, rain-soaked pitches, that week of September 15th to the 22nd, 2025, that was definitely it. We just saw this period of like massive contrast. You go from the gilded glamour of individual awards in Paris straight into the raw collective drama playing out across Europe.
It really was a definitive week, wasn't it? And I think our mission today really is to unpack that, how this week served as maybe the ultimate validation for that whole Paris Saint-Germain project, the culmination of a decade of huge investment. But at the same time, we saw some absolutely historic individual milestones, especially in the Champions League. And, well, it set the stage for what looked like incredibly competitive domestic league races, maybe the tightest we've seen in years.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what we're diving into. We'll start right at the top with Ousmane Dembélé's coronation in Paris and what that means for like the PSG philosophy versus maybe Barcelona's approach. Let me jump straight into the pressure cooker. The Champions League is back. Chaos, goals, and a mind-bending record got broken. And finally, we'll hit those intense domestic battlegrounds. We're talking tactical showdowns in England, the absolute heat of the Rome Derby, and Harry Kane just doing Harry Kane things in Germany.
Lots to get through.
But let's kick off where the week sort of climaxed. The Théâtre du Châtelet in Paris, Monday night. Ousmane Dembélé, PSG forward, 28 years old, takes home the men's Ballon d'Or. And this feels like more than just, his personal win. It feels like the moment PSG finally went, see, our whole model works.
It really is the climax of that narrative, isn't it? The one they've been chasing for, well, for so long. Dembélé was, I mean, you can't argue, he was the instrumental figure in that historic 2024-25 season for them.
Totally.
When you finally win your first Champions League title and you add the domestic league and cup double, you need someone to step up massively. And he delivered, what was it, 37 goals, 15 assists across all competitions. That award, it validates him, yes, but it absolutely validates the massive investment behind him.
Okay, but here's a question, maybe a slightly cynical one. When a club spends that much for that long, does the individual story, Dembélé's own achievement, kind of get lost in the whole project narrative? Can we really separate his personal glory from this huge machine PSG built?
That's actually a really good point, and it's where the nuance comes in. I think Dembélé's speech helped a bit there. He seemed genuinely emotional, didn't he?
He did.
And he singled out Luis Enrique, who significantly also won Men's Coach of the Year. Dembélé described Enrique as being like a father. Now, that speaks volumes about a personal connection, a personal transformation, especially considering Dembélé's past struggles, with consistency, injuries.
Good point.
So the project built the stage, maybe, but Dembélé himself had to provide the actual genius on it. And, it's significant for France, too. First French winner since Benzema back in 2022.
And the PSG dominance on the night was just staggering. It wasn't just the main award. You're talking, what, five PSG players in the men's top 10?
Incredible. Yeah, five of them. Dembélé first, obviously. Vitinha came in third. Then Hakimi, Donnarumma, Mendes.
And Donnarumma got the Yashin Trophy for best goalkeeper.
And the club itself won Men's Club of the Year.
That level of presence, it just screams that their approach, tactically, financially, whatever, it's achieved, well, total dominance right now.
But while all that was happening, history was being made on the women's side too. And it demands context immediately. Aitana Bonmatí,
Ah, yes,
who
incredible.
claimed the Ballon d'Or Feminine for a remarkable third consecutive year. A three-peat. I mean, think about that. That puts her up there with Michel Platini, with Lionel Messi, in terms of winning it three times in a row.
That's elite company. Seriously elite.
Just incredible consistency at the highest level.
And her speech was powerful too, wasn't it? It wasn't just about the award.
No, not at all. She used that platform, talked about the responsibility that comes with the women's game growing so fast, a really strong call for unity, and crucially, she highlighted the ongoing fight against misogyny in football.
Important message.
It really transcended the sport in that moment.
So this is where that contrast you mentioned earlier really hits home, right?
Exactly. This is where it crystallized on the night. If PSG represents conquering the present, through strategic spending, buying the finished product.
Then Barcelona represents the future through development.
Precisely. You had their 18-year-old Lamine Yamal finish runner-up for the main men's prize, which is just unbelievable for a teenager.
Insane.
And he also bagged the men's Copa trophy, best under 21 player, for the second year running.
Wow, doubling up.
And then his clubmate, Vicky Lopez, she won the first ever women's Copa trophy.
Ah, okay. So Barca's sweeping the youth awards.
Exactly. So you see this huge philosophical clash laid bare right there on stage. PSG celebrating the elite squad they bought to reach the top versus Barcelona proving their academy, La Masia, is still brewing the next generation of world-class talent.
It's a really fascinating opposition, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The present versus the future, embodied by those two clubs. Okay, so the glitter from the red carpet, it barely had time to settle before, boom, the demands of the actual season came roaring back.
No rest for the wicked.
Exactly. We go straight from individual honors to the collective pressure cooker, the Champions League, match day one, September 16th to 18th. And it was just explosive right out of the gate.
Instant goal madness is probably the best way to put it. That opening night game, Juventus 4, Borussia Dortmund 4.
Our game.
Just setting a ridiculous standard for drama straight away. And PSG, still buzzing from the awards, you'd think.
Yeah, maybe a hangover.
Apparently not. They proved it wasn't a distraction at all. Issued a huge statement, really, by dismantling Atalanta 4-0. Just showing they're absolutely serious about defending that title.
Powerful start. Elsewhere, though, the big guns were tested, weren't they?
Yeah, it wasn't all smooth sailing. Real Madrid had to work for it, edged Marseille 2-1. Liverpool got a big win, but it was dramatic 3-2 against Atletico de Madrid. Always intense, those two.
Always.
Bayern Munich looked pretty dominant, though. They beat Chelsea 3-1. But the historical moment of the week, that belongs entirely to one man, Erling Haaland.
Ah, yes, so. Of course. Manchester City against Napoli.
City got a professional 2-0 win. Haaland scored the opener. Header, standard Haaland goal, you might think.
What?
But that was his 50th career goal in the UEFA Champions League. Now, 50 is a massive number anyway.
Huge milestone.
But it's the context that just makes your jaw drop.
Go on. How quick was it?
He reached 50 goals in just his 49th appearance.
Oh, wait, say that again? 49th?
49th appearance. Fewer games than goals to reach 50.
That doesn't even sound real. That's video game stuff.
It completely obliterates the previous record pace. I mean, it confirms he's not just, you know, a generational talent. He's like an anomaly, a statistical outlier.
How does he even maintain that? You mentioned tactics earlier.
Well, yeah, it raises that crucial point, doesn't it? Historically, players might hit a peak, maybe plateau, maybe their numbers dip slightly after those first explosive years.
Right.
But his success, it really reflects this modern tactical focus on having a dominant, physically unique number nine. Someone engineered to score from those high probability positions they create for him.
Yeah.
He's not just breaking records. He's almost redefining what efficient goal scoring looks like at the very top level.
Just incredible. And quick mention, too, speaking of narratives, FC Barcelona got a key win, 2-1 over Newcastle United.
Yep, important result for them.
And a little bit of extra spice. Former Manchester United player Marcus Rashford scored for Barca.
Ah, against Newcastle.
Against a familiar English rival. Adds another layer, doesn't it? History, rivalry. Always bubbles up in these European games.
Always does.
All right, so from those continental clashes, let's pivot back to the week-in, week-out intensity of the domestic leagues, which, you know, immediately reminded everyone that consistency is the real key over a long season.
Yeah, the grind is back.
And the Premier League served up immediate evidence of how tight things might be.
Yeah.
Two massive tactical battles.
Definitely. That 1-1 draw between Arsenal and Manchester City, it was all about tactical discipline, real tension. Haaland did what Haaland does, scored early, 9th minute.
Of course he did.
But the story really was Arsenal just refusing to buckle and then substitute Gabriel Martinelli. Wow. That magnificent lobbed finish deep into stoppage time, 93rd minute.
Oh, I saw that highlights. Stunning goal.
Snatched a point, and that'll feel like a win for Arsenal, keeping pace like that.
And then the chaos over at Old Trafford. Manchester United beat Chelsea 2-1. Sounded like a proper old-school, rain-soaked classic.
It was described as chaotic and enthralling, which sounds about right. United stormed into a 2-0 lead, Fernandes and Casemiro scoring. Looked comfortable. For a while, yeah. But then Trevo Chalobah pulled one back for Chelsea around the 80th minute, and United really had to just cling on for dear life at the end.
Wow. Nervy finish.
Proper nervy. And you add Liverpool just edging Everton 2-1 in the Merseyside Derby. These tight results, these head-to-heads, it just suggests this Premier League title race is going to be won by inches, not miles. No one's running away with it early.
Looks that way. Okay, over to Spain. Is the expected two-horse race already taking shape?
It's certainly maintaining a blistering pace early on. Real Madrid, they're still perfect. 5 wins from 5 now after beating Espanyol 2-0. Militão and Kylian Mbappe, who's just continuing his, you know, high-profile scoring run since joining.
Settling in nicely then.
Seems so. And Barcelona kept pace. Beat Getafe 3-0. Fempora's got a brace. Dani Olmo scored 2, so they're right there with Real.
But Atletico.
Atletico Madrid dropped points. Crucial points, maybe.
Yeah.
A 1-1 draw against Mallorca. That could be early ground conceded to the big two already.
Tough one for them. Right down to Italy. The big one there was the Rome Derby, wasn't it? The Derby della Capitale.
Absolutely electric atmosphere, as always. And AS Roma got the bragging rights this time. A huge 1-0 win over Lazio.
Decided by?
The captain, Lorenzo Pellegrini, scored around the 38th minute. That's one of those results that carries massive emotional weight for the rest of their season.
Yeah. Definitely. And the Milan clubs, how are they looking?
Looking formidable, actually. AC Milan handled Udinese pretty comfortably 3-0. And Christian Pulisic, the American international, he bagged a superb brace, looks really sharp.
Good for him. Inter.
Inter also got the job done. A hard-fought 2-1 win over Sassuolo. So yeah, both Milan clubs keeping the pressure on at the top early.
Okay, Germany, Bundesliga, Harry Kane.
Hmm.
Sounds like he had a statement game for Bayern.
Oh, absolutely. Classic Kane performance. A sensational hat-trick in a 4-1 win over Hoffenheim.
Hat-trick. Included penalties.
2 penalties, yeah, which he dispatched clinically, obviously. And 1 from open play. It just confirms he is their absolute focal point. Everything goes through him.
Unstoppable form. And Dortmund. Are they keeping pace?
They are. They kept second place. Tough game, though. A hard-fought 1-0 win against Rolfsburg.
That's a difference maker.
Karim Adeyemi. Scored a spectacular long-range strike. Absolute stunner. And importantly for Dortmund, that was their 3rd consecutive clean sheet at home in the league. So they're looking solid defensively, too.
Interesting. Okay, finally, let's quickly touch on France and MLS.
Yeah.
The biggest story in League One was, well, a non-story.
Yeah, kind of anticlimactic, wasn't it? The huge game, Le Classique, Marseille versus PSG. Postponed.
Why was that?
Adverse weather conditions, apparently. Which is a shame, because after all that Ballon d'Or validation for PSG, you felt they needed a big, high-tension domestic game to kind of reassert themselves. And, well, the postponement left this strange little vacuum.
And who filled that vacuum?
Monaco seized the spotlight. They jumped to the top of League One after absolutely thrashing Metz 5-2. Ansu Fati came off the bench and bagged a brace. Shows the league doesn't wait around, weather or no weather.
Good for Monaco. And quickly across the Atlantic, MLS?
Yeah, just a quick note there. Inter Miami is still led by Messi, of course. They secured a solid 3-1 victory over the Seattle Sounders, keeping their campaign ticking along. #tag outro. So when you look back at that week, it really was like a condensed lesson in, I don't know, football physics. You had this immense force generated by years of strategic spending, finally validated with PSG's big night in Paris.
The nation.
Exactly. But then that force runs headlong into the immediate, unforgiving reality of the actual season. The week-to-week competition, those crowns are heavy, you know?
Yeah.
And the domestic leagues, the Champions League rivals, they're all lining up ready to try and knock them straight off again.
No time to rest on laurels at all.
Yeah.
And the attention now, it shifts pretty quickly, doesn't it? We've got that rescheduled Le Classique to look forward to eventually. But maybe more immediately. Champions League Match Day 2 is just around the corner.
Promises another round of incredible matches, yeah.
And that brings us right back, actually, to that core tension we talked about at the start.
The philosophical clash.
Yeah. That contrast between PSG present-day dominance, built through acquisition, and FC Barcelona, seemingly building future dominance through their academy, their youth. We saw the awards basically define those two different models of success side by side.
We did. They're both winners on the night in their own way.
Okay, so here's the thought we want to leave you with. PSG and Barcelona, they're scheduled to play each other in Champions League Match Day 2. That's September 30th or October 1st, right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. The draw threw up a beauty there.
So what does it truly mean? What does it signify that these two fundamentally opposed ways of building success, the bought and paid for present versus the carefully nurtured future, what does it mean that they're going to collide directly on the pitch so soon after the world just sort of declared them both winners?
That confrontation.
Mm.
Wow. It feels like it's going to tell us a lot about the immediate direction of European football, doesn't it?
It really does. Something to chew on there. We'll leave you to ponder that one. Until next time, thanks for diving deep with us.